Hey folks, Scott Weingart with an MCrit Wii. Now, I just got an email from an EM intensivist. I'm not sure if he wants to remain anonymous, so I'm not going to mention his name. But he wrote me a letter, which you could read in the show notes, the gist of which is that a lot of his residents have moved to using rock uranium instead of succinylcholine, and he attributes slash blames that on me. But he likes the idea of using rock uranium, but he's noticed a new problem is cropping up. And that problem is that these patients are not getting post-intubation sedation, and they're paralyzed. And as a result, if they started off hypotensive, now all of a sudden their vital signs are coming up because they are so friggin' miserable, because they are paralyzed without any form of analgesia or sedation. Of course, they're getting a massive catecholamine surge, and their vitals are up, and everyone's happy except the patient. And he's noticed this phenomenon has become more prevalent as more and more people are using ROC. And guess what? He's right. I've noticed this as well. People are doing this, and it's driving me crazy. Crazy. Now, I'm going to break this up into just a few parts, because I think there's many separate issues here. The first issue is I don't think people understand that you actually do need to sedate a patient after intubating them. Now, they get that on some level, but they don't get it on the level where it's actually taking place without prompting. By which I mean, when you used to use succinylcholine, you would totally forget about sedating the patient, and then the patient would look friggin' miserable and start moving around, and then you'd be like, oh, I guess I should put some sedation on. And you would, hopefully. But with rock uranium, guess what? You don't get that prompt. So you have to do it on your own. Now, there's a lot of solutions to this, like A, be a really good doctor. B, use a checklist, and that'll save you from needing to be a really good doctor, because that's the purpose of checklists, especially when you have nurses who are initiating it and making you do the right thing. That would be a good thing. But you have to be cognizant of this, and you really should be when you're doing your medication decisions to pick out your RSI drugs. You should be picking out your post-intubation sedation drugs as well, and having those in the works, getting prepared while you're intubating the patient. And that way the nurses are like, hey, you asked me to set up that Versed and fentanyl drip. Should I start it? And boom, a cognitive prompt to do the right thing. That's the first issue. And I've walked into our resus area, and I've gone up to a patient's bedside, and they're crying. And guess what? When you're paralyzed, pretty much the only way the patient could express how miserable they are is through tears. Now, how sad is that? The only way your patient could communicate with you is through crying. But you go up to a patient, and they're tearing because that is still retained when they're paralyzed. And I ask, well, what was the post-intubation sedation regimen? And they look at me blankly. Oh, we haven't started anything yet. And it makes me want to punch someone. Not that I'm a violent person at baseline. That's how angry it makes me. I will come to your ED and punch you if you do not sedate these patients and you use rock uranium. It makes you look bad. It makes me look bad. Don't do it. Now, sometimes people are cognizant of it, but they give another reason. And this is what the unknown EM intensivist was writing me about, which is these patients are too unstable to receive sedatives and analgesics. They're too unstable. Their vital signs are too bad. I can't do it. There's no patient who had awareness before intubation whose vital signs are ever too unstable for you to give sedatives. If they're not on a pressor drip already and they're hypotensive, guess what? Sedate them and put them on a pressor drip. It's okay. In fact, it's good, because unabated catecholamine response is actually really bad for these patients. It would be better if you could do the work for them and not have to rely on their own endogenous tone. So put them on a norepi drip, sedate them. Give them some calcium, sedate them. Choose a non-hypotension-inducing sedative agent if you want. Instead of using propofol, use midazolam. If you're still too worried about that, use a ketamine drip. We'll have a show on that, how to do that. But the point is, there's always an option. At the very least, make sure they are properly analgesed and have a modicum of sedation so that they're not aware. But you got to do something. And if that means starting a pressor drip you wouldn't need otherwise to have your patient be adequately sedated, I look at that as a win, not a loss. Now, the specific circumstance that was mentioned predominantly in this email was the trauma patient. Their vitals are crap, so you very appropriately decide to intubate and use rock uranium. And then they get a little bit better on their vitals and everyone's high-fiving, but the reason the patient got better on their vitals is their catecholamine surge went up because they're paralyzed without sedation. Guess what? You haven't done anything good for them. We're finding out more and more that the coagulopathy of trauma is abated by organ perfusion, by tissue perfusion. And you making their vitals better by causing an endogenous catecholamine surge response didn't do anything good for these patients. Rick Dudden would tell you, use a whole ton of fentanyl, getting up to cardiac dose as your sole anesthetic for a sick trauma patient. That's what I do. But if you want to slip in some midazolam in addition to some fentanyl, knock yourself out. But do not rely on the patient's vitals getting better because you're leaving them paralyzed without sedation. Unacceptable. Hope I've made that clear. I will say, just as in a sidebar, that all my sick trauma patients I use sucks. I want to know what's going on with their mental status. It's very neat the way I play it, because what happens is they are so sick, their blood pressure is so low that they're not responding at all. And then I give them some products. I give them some blood, some FFP. Their blood pressure gets better. And all of a sudden, they start moving around a little bit. Well, that's my marker that I'm ready to give more fentanyl, because now they perfuse better. And I could give them more of that medication that's going to take away their own endogenous catecholamine surge, going to make things better. So I use sucks. I like to see what's going on with those patients' mental status in the trauma room acutely. As soon as they get to the OR, they're getting a long-acting paralytic agent. And now they're just going to rely on the patient's map to do the same thing. All right, this was a little long-winded for a wee, but I think it's really important, and I want to get it out there. Tell me what you think. Go to the comments or go to the Google Plus page. I want to hear from you, my listeners, the people I love interacting with. Scott Weingart, MCRIT Wee, saying bye-bye.